So today is October 7th, 2020. It is 4 p.m. and I am Mayor Julia Johnson, and I call this combination council meeting, planning commission meeting to order. I am going to begin with a roll call. I will do it for my council members, and then Eric Johnson, do you want to do it for your planning commission when I get through here? Well, we'll see how that goes. So, okay. So, call to order. Yes. So, Councilman Couch.
Present.
Councilman Kinzer.
Present.
Okay. Councilman Kesty.
Present.
Councilman Owen. Councilman McGoffin.
Present.
Councilman Allen, we know it's going to be out. And let's see who I'm at. Councilman DeYoung.
Present.
Okay, so I heard from Councilman Allen today, and he said that he is not going to be able to attend the meeting, and he is looking to be excused. So I am looking for someone to make that motion, if you would, please.
Madam Mayor, I make a motion to excuse Councilmember Allen from tonight's meeting.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Councilmember Kinzer, seconded by Councilman DeYoung. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay. So, Eric Johnson, did you want to take roll for Planning Commission?
Yes, I will, Madam Mayor. Thank you. Commissioner Pinno?
Here.
Commissioner Fournette? Commissioner Maddox is absent. Commissioner Huggins? Commissioner Fatizzi?
Here.
And as far as Commissioner Freiberger, are we going to count her present, or?
She is desperately trying to get through. I've given her the phone numbers to call, so she's trying to dial in now.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll make note when she is finally able to dial in.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm just going to Couple quick announcements. First off, I wanted to make everybody aware that in our elected officials meeting today with the Skagit County Health Board, it was kind of shocking to learn that there are actually 36 new cases, and it is climbing. So, not great. I just want to remind everybody to please stay safe, wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands, do what you need to do to keep yourself and everybody around you safe. The governor did offer yesterday safe start options for those who have libraries, movie theaters, and also new guidelines for the restaurants. But I still want to remind everyone that we are still under a state of emergency. So we'll see how this all goes as it plays out. Also, I'm going to ask the city council members, if you would be willing to stay on after the meeting is done. I am going to be making a public service announcement for the Tulip Festival, and I would very much like for you to be a part of that. So if you're willing and able, if you can stay on afterwards, we will do that. And actually, anybody on the Planning Commission, if you'd like to be a part of that too, that would be fantastic. We'd love to have you, okay? So given that, I am going to turn this over to John. He's going to be leading us through the update on the 2020 Comprehensive Plan Amendment. So, Director Coleman.
All right. Thank you. So, I both apologize and am not apologizing for the lack of materials for this meeting. The idea was there's nothing really to present or go over. I wanted to make it kind of an easy meeting where the council can chat with the Planning Commission if they have any questions. about the process for the 2020 comprehensive plan update cycle. So if you recall, on the 2020 update cycle, we had two rezone requests from private property owners. The Planning Commission has had several meetings on each of those and have made recommendations to the council, and those recommendations don't come to the council after the Planning Commission makes them per se. They all of the recommendations for that the Planning Commission makes on the 2020 docket go to the City Council at one time. So it comes as one bundled project to the City Council, even though the Planning Commission may work on bits and pieces of the comprehensive plan during different months and at different times than the other projects. So about 2 months ago, the Planning Commission finished up on one of the private land request rezones. That was for a roughly 2.5 or 3 acre piece of land that's currently zoned industrial. It was requested to be changed to residential. Planning Commission looked at it. It's along the edge of the slough, so very little of the land is actually developable, and so reviewed that and made a recommendation. And I'll bring you the actual recommendation later, so I won't give you I won't give the council a preview right now. So that was one project, and the other project was a rezone request for a small 2.5 or 3 acre piece of mixed commercial land out at the golf course. Was requested to be changed to residential 5. And so they completed the work on that project at the last month. And as I mentioned at the last City Council meeting, they were prepared to bring those items to the council soon. Although at the last City Council meeting, and the Planning Commission is not aware of this yet, because I haven't seen the Planning Commission since the last council meeting. But at the last council meeting, the council had asked to put a rezone of the city-owned property on Reed Street onto the 2020 docket. So that will be one of the agenda items for the October 20th Planning Commission meeting, is to review the zoning of the Reed Street property. And we've put out a public notice for that already. That's available on the Planning Commission website, I believe. Should double check that. So I'll be filling the Planning Commission in on that project and the history of the property at the meeting. There was one other item on the 2020 Planning Commission docket, and that was a review of the comprehensive sewer plan update. That was something that the Public Works Department, Mark Freiberger, and Sewer Department, both Kevin and then of course Debbie, prior to Kevin, worked long and hard on that project. And Mark gave a really excellent presentation a couple of months ago at the Planning Commission, and we held a public hearing on it. And so the Planning Commission has completed that review. Are there any questions about what the Planning Commission has worked on this year and on the 2020 docket? All right.
So, John, is that background noise, is that coming from you, or is it, has everybody muted their mics? Because there's, you haven't. If you can please mute your mic, that would be great. Thank you. All right, John, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I was just asking if anybody had any questions or concerns about what was on the 2020 docket. I'm happy to, I kind of glossed over the fact that we'll be, you know, the Planning Commission later this month will be reviewing the Reed Street property rezone. I don't know that there's a whole lot to say about that, but if there's any questions or any further comments, then That would be a fine time. Otherwise, we could move on to the rest of the agenda for today.
So are there any comments or questions for John? Well, if not, you know, I want to extend on behalf of myself and the council our thanks again to the Planning Commission for the hard work that you underwent to put together the ADUs that you presented to us. No doubt there was a lot of thought that went into that, and what you brought to us was really a comprehensive plan, and we're grateful for that. So just extending that, I know that that took up a good part of the 2020 meetings that you had when you were able to have them, given COVID. I know there was a couple months, I do believe, that you were not able to meet. So just on behalf of the council and the mayor, thank you.
And for the record, I'd like to indicate that Planning Commissioner Danielle Freiberger is on the line. I can see her phone number on there as one of the participants.
All right. For the record, Planning Commissioner Danielle Freiberger is noted as being present. Thank you, John.
That's just the wrap up of the what the Planning Commission has been working on this month or this year as far as the comprehensive plan updates. So once they complete their work and pass it on to the City Council, they'll be done, and we'll be looking ahead towards the 2021 comprehensive plan docket cycle. That's going to get started in the new year. Applications for the process for that is we've put out notifications to the public stating if anybody has any requests to change any of the text in the comprehensive plan, or if anybody is interested in making a zoning change to their property. All of those applications will be treated in the 2021 docket cycle. Applications are due in mid-January for that. And then once we receive those applications, I will bundle them up and bring them to the City Council for the Council's consideration of what could be on the 2021 comprehensive plan cycle. In addition to what the public requests, there's also the option for staff to recommend any updates to the comprehensive plan or zoning map. So we've been thinking about that in the planning department, and I've checked with the Public Works Department to see if there is any needed updates from our departments. And we still have plenty of time to think about it because we're not going to be bringing that to the council for a while. But right now it looks like we don't have anything pressing that we're looking to bring to the 2021 update cycle. The entire comprehensive plan was updated in 2016, so it's still pretty fresh. And then it will be required to do a full update of the comprehensive plan due the end of June in 2025. Because, you know, that plan, when we do that in 2025, that is also a review of our critical areas ordinance, and it's a review of our population projections and our urban growth area boundaries. So that process takes a lot longer. That will begin working with the other jurisdictions in the city, in the county, to start the population projection in probably 2022 or 2023. The Skagit Council of Governments, SCOG, we work with them to update that, and we start with Office of Financial Management projections, and then we filter it through the cities and the county to decide what looks like a proper population projection for each of the cities, and it goes through a long process through SCOG, steering committee as well. And the county makes a determination, and then we start our work on that. So that's why we start that in 2022 or 23. But in the meantime, leading up until 2022, we can. There's nothing major that we need to update our comprehensive plan, but now's the time to think if there's anything that the council would like to see updated in the comprehensive plan or, in the next year. And now would be a good time to start thinking about it. I wanted to leave some of today's council meeting with the Planning Commission involved to brainstorm if there was anything that the council had on their mind that they would like to see, maybe kick the tires on some ideas. Otherwise, we'll just see what's necessary later in the year, and we'll be bringing the actual docket to the council in May, or sorry, the March joint city council study session. So, like I said, the wrap up of the 2021 update, we're not really anticipating anything major pressing. Taking care of the transportation plan last year and updated the sewer plan this year. So 2021, there's nothing pressing. But if the council has anything they'd like to possibly put on that, now's a good time to discuss that. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, John. So any comments or questions for John or the Planning Commission? Okay, a silent group. So if there isn't anything else, I think I would kind of like to do a round robin. I'm just going to go around to the council members and also the planning commissioners. And anything for the good of the order that you would like to add, please do. So I will start with Councilman Couch. Anything that you would like to add for the good of the order?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to the Planning Commission for joining us. I just want to echo what the Mayor said. Thank you for the work that you guys did on the ADUs. I know that was quite the undertaking. And hopefully the next projects that you guys handle are a little bit lighter in lifting and in your time. I just want to say I really appreciate you guys taking a look. I know it. John just kind of sprung it on you, the Reed Street property. But that's been a topic of much discussion by the council, and I look forward to you guys looking at that, and appreciate your time on that. And that's all I have.
All right. Thank you very much. Council Member Kinzer.
Madam Mayor, no, I don't have anything to add today. Thank you, though.
All right, thank you. Council Member Kesty.
No, I don't either at this time, but thank you guys for all your hard work.
Councilman McGoffin.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to echo Councilman Couch's gratitude towards the committee, because the ADUs were really amazing, and I'm happy for all the work you guys put in doing that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Councilman DeYoung.
Hello. Yeah, thank you very much for all the hard work, Planning Commission, and also with the Planning Department over the past year. It's just a testament of the diverse community ideas that we have, and that really appreciate the effort you put in, quote unquote, making the sausage. I do have a question about the comprehensive plan with the parks and recreation. So specifically in chapter 6 under City of Cedar Woolley comprehensive plan, are we planning any changes in that section, John?
I haven't anticipated anything, but as we look at the rezone process, we'll pull up the Parks and Rec element and see if there's any needed changes. What I can say is the Parks and Rec element already does identify the Reed Street property as a potential park. So it may not be necessary to do anything to the Parks and Rec element.
Oh, great.
But if that needs to be done, then we can address that in the 2021 docket.
Okay. And then did you want to talk a little bit more about policy 1.4 about developing bicycle routes into existing neighborhoods and in the parks?
If you would like us to, we could.
Okay. I'm looking again, going back to the proposals I had for the budget last year on removing invasive plants and restoring natural plants in the park and putting in a non-motorized multimodal interpretive trail. And I would like to see where we could then look at where that could link up to other established trails within the city limits and just try to find connectivity in those areas.
I think that may connect with our transportation plan and the multimodal.
Exactly.
In there, what policy did you, what did you?
Okay, I'm just looking at, let's see, section 6.16, goals and policies. Talks about vision statement of the parks, recreation element surveys, and analysis the existing park system, potential improvements, provide park system with complements to Cedar Valley's natural and cultural beauty and uniqueness. And then currently on page 141, policy 1.1, pursue joint ventures with Skagit County, other jurisdictions, public-private opportunities in order to obtain access to greater variety of recreational facilities than the city can provide on its own. So that would be great linkage with the county and other organizations. We also have policy 1.3, establish a network of bicycle and pedestrian trails which are coordinated with Skagit County in order to provide linkages to existing and proposed regional parks, open spaces, and trail systems. And then also policy 1.4, develop a bicycle route in existing neighborhoods that uses existing low traffic roads, having its focus points being area schools, civic centers, the central business district, and proposed and existing parks, which will include bicycle rack signage and striping to significant route. Policy 1.5, which include existing and proposed bicycle and pedestrian trails in cities, 6-year transportation improvement program for non-motorized travel, including pedestrian overpass to connect northern and southern portions of the city, which currently split by Highway 20. All these are great policies I'd love to see supported. Again, policy 2.1, increase the amount of natural areas to be preserved within Cedar Valley's developed urban area, especially along shorelines, steep hillsides, wetlands, and stream corridors. So I know we have setbacks and easements along Brickyard Creek as we move forward with certain annexations. I'm looking for to retain those in order for future use by folks in a non-motorized multimodal way. And develop, let's see, policy 2.2, develop a mixture of active and passive recreational areas in order to accommodate the desires and lifestyles of Cedar Valley residents. And finally, policy 4.4, develop a working display at Riverfront Park of the life cycles and habitat requirements of the salmon in order to inform the public of the importance and vulnerability of this endangered species. So I support all these policies, and I would like to see if we can sharpen our pencil a bit about the linkages and connecting some of these together along with partnering with Skagit County, other jurisdictions, and public-private opportunities. And we know that we have a lot of non-government organizations and nonprofits that are out there to help us with these projects, as we've seen, for instance, with the Skagit River Enhancement Group and also with Skagit Conservation District. Thank you, John. That was a lot of information.
I can give you some feedback on that. So,
Great.
The policy 1.1 was to work with the Skagit County for various connections and projects. The well, obviously, we've been working with them with the Northern State area, pretty closely. And there's also a document that doesn't see the light of day a whole lot that is adopted by Skagit County. It was the Skagit Countywide Urban Growth Area Open Space Concept Plan.
Ooh.
From January 2009. And what this was an effort to coordinate the open spaces between the communities, to provide connections and to provide open space between buffers between the communities. So policy one points straight to this document in a way, because we worked with the county, the other jurisdictions to get this project passed. Like I said, then also a lot of the projects are such as the multimodal connections, would be identified in the non-motorized transportation plan in the transportation element and yep. adopted public works documents. So the way, for the benefit of those that are newer to the comprehensive plan process, the way the comprehensive plan works is it's sort of goals and ideas and giving direction for city policies and regulations. So what we envision in the comprehensive plan then can be brought to fruition through development regulations, zoning code, department standards, the transportation improvement program. The comprehensive plan guides all of these other more specific regulations that the city passes, and also guides just sort of our attitude towards, Councilmember DeYoung was talking about partnerships for salmon enhancement projects at the park. So that would, that would guide our policy, guide our staff is, if we see an opportunity to work with a local group, say a local salmon enhancement group approaches the city, we have guidance in the comprehensive plan that says, yes, this is something that is envisioned and, yes, something that staff should pursue. Without having to, necessarily go to council and say, "Hey, should we have a partnership with such and such group?" Which we could also do, but we have direct guidelines, so to say, in the comprehensive plan. Say, yes, this is something that the city supports.
And we've already experienced that. We've already seen that down at Riverfront Park, where they have cleaned up where all those blackberries were at, planted the beautiful trees. That's really going to be lovely. Going to be a bridge that's going to be put in there. So yeah, this is something that is in our policy, and it's something that we have, as opportunity presents, been moving forward with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. So I'm just expressing my support for those policies and, and let's do some outreach and, having helped plant some of those trees. I look forward to seeing them become robust and having grandchildren and grandchildren of grandchildren being able to enjoy those trees down there. Mm-hmm. It's a great project. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, and thank you, John. I'm going to move on to the Planning Commission. I'll start with Commissioner Pano. Hello, Stacy. Is there something you'd like to add for the good of the order?
Hi, everybody. I miss all of you. I did want to say welcome to Joelle and Kesty as a new council member. It's great to have you on there. Other than that, I don't really have anything to say.
All right. Thank you. And Commissioner Freiberger.
I don't really have anything to add, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you. We haven't seen you in a while.
Yep. Yes.
Commissioner Fattisi.
I would like to add this to the conversation. When we were doing the rezone request for Granite Holdings, there was a lot to talk about. And the comments that we got back from the community is that we have a water issue there. So the fact that nothing's there now, this would be the appropriate time to take a look at the water issues that are on that property before anything new goes in there. So I looked at it as a good thing because I was the one that had to make the deciding vote, but it wasn't willy-nilly. I mentioned this to John Coleman earlier. Going from R5, from our mixed commercial, that's a downgrade. I don't know why anybody would want to take that mixed commercial and bring it down to 5 units, because I model this stuff all the time. If I was conservative and just looked at 2 acres that are usable outside of the setbacks, everything, 2 acres, and I look at a 45% coverage in a building and then do my calculation for units that can go in there, under John's analysis, you're only looking at 12 to 14 units, I believe. Here, if you stuck with that, and I did a model on 1,200 square foot units and 1,400 square units, and I'm over 100 units, keeping in that same code. And here's why it's important too. What I'm seeing in the marketplace right now is a lack of rambler style homes for retirees. If you give them an elevator, one story, and a beautiful deck, that's a significant where demand we're seeing now that we don't have the resources out there. And why we, as Cedar Willie in particular, is getting really favorable to people, we have services, right? We got a hospital right there that are really important to people. We got nursing homes. We got assisted care. So when I looked at this, I was like, okay, that's your call. But that's the reason I said, hey, go for it. But I think that was an amazing opportunity because I'm sticking 100 people on top of me. I'm going to lease that commercial space like that. So anyway, I think it was an opportunity that they should have taken a different look on. So anyway, so I definitely wanted to add that since I was the deciding vote, but we did listen to the community. We do have water issues, and that's going to be taken care of in the next round when they actually have to present the engineering. So anyway, thank you.
All right, thank you. And Commissioner Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Very grateful for the gratitude that you and the rest of the council has given the Planning Commission. It has been a pretty long road to hoe the past few years. So I agree with John's sentiments that, it's not necessarily disappointed that there isn't a whole lot of discussion today. And that it looks like we're going to have a fairly light agenda, or at least the potentiality of a light agenda. It's a nice little change of pace, but I do want to really commend my fellow planning commissioners. They're all extremely hardworking. They all bring their own unique point of view and their own expertise, and each one contributes a lot. And you know, every chance I get, I like to be able to share my appreciation for my colleagues. I also want to say a special thank you to Commissioner Fattizi for filling in for me. Been out a couple meetings this year, which is actually really, really rare for me over the course of my tenure, but I'm recovering well from hand surgery and looking forward to getting back this month and getting back at it. And then also want to officially, in an official capacity, welcome Councilwoman Kesty. Being this is my first meeting with her as a new council member. So congratulations and welcome. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you one and all. And I something that has been brought up, but I don't know that we've really extended our thanks or appreciation, is your willingness as a planning commission to take on the Reed Street rezoning. I realize this isn't going to be a big deal, but I know that you had thought that you had kind of finished up with your comprehensive plan for the year. One more item, but this is a fantastic item and a great opportunity for the city. So with much gratitude, I extend from the council and myself your willingness to move forward with this and take that on so that it can be a part of the 2020 comprehensive plan. So if there is nothing else, John, is there anything else that you wanted to add to the meeting here before I close?
Just wanted to express to council that, you know, when we're talking about today comprehensive plan updates, which sometimes will also necessitate changes to development regulations, you know, those are done as the docket. But the council always has the opportunity to make a request to the planning department to have the planning commission review regular development regulation changes that wouldn't necessarily need to go through the comprehensive plan cycle. It might be just a, you know, the planning commission regularly reviews, you know, little zoning changes, not zoning map changes, but zoning development regulation changes. And one of those types of things that, you know, when the planning commission went through the accessory dwelling unit discussion, one topic that that didn't get a lot of detailed discussion just because it was kind of a whole nother ball of wax was short-term rentals. And we, you know, the planning commission recommended that we just don't allow short-term rentals in ADUs. But we did kind of put an earmark on that issue, saying, you know, at some point we should probably talk about short-term rentals, and not necessarily in the context of ADUs, but just in the context of the city as a whole. And so that's when we get a break in the Planning Commission agenda, because we've been pretty busy, that was one item that I thought we could have the Planning Commission start a discussion on. And I'm sure that short-term rentals brings up a lot of emotion and concern for many people. So that's going to be one that the Planning Commission is also going to have to work hard on and probably spend several meetings on before they perfect it. Because in other jurisdictions, it's proved to be a tougher nut to crack, so to say. But that's one of the development regulation reviews that I would propose to have the Planning Commission work on over the next maybe year or so when we get a chance to put it on the agenda.
So, John, is this along the line of VRBOs and are you thinking along those lines, or is that something separate?
So short-term rentals is sort of the generic term for a VRBO or an Airbnb or whatever other company that might provide those services, or it's short-term. It's not the same as renting it out to somebody who's going to live there for a year or 6 months, you know, signing a lease. It's more the VRBO model and addressing how that affects the community and how and if it should even be addressed. We check every once in a while to see how many are listed on VRBO and Airbnb, and we never really see more than about 10 throughout the city that are active at any given time. So we haven't heard a lot of concern about it, but we just know that it's a topic that may need to be addressed.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you, especially with a strong interest in wanting to be, when people move into, or when they come into a community to experience a community, they oftentimes like to live within the community for a short period of time to get that whole holistic feeling, I guess, experience the whole nine yards, so to speak. So yeah, I think that's a great topic that should and hopefully will be discussed by the Planning Commission. I like that. Thank you, John.
Mayor, this is Mark.
Yeah.
So I just had a couple of things I'd like to bring up. The conversation of Council Member DeYoung stimulated in my mind to think about trails a little bit. There's a few things that are happening or will happen shortly that may rise to the level of our joint commission council consideration, and I just wanted to mention those to you.
Okay, good.
First of all, one thing that's been kind of in the on-again, off-again realm down at the Northern States Recreational Area were the ball fields proposals that were done some years back in a master plan for that facility. as many of you probably know, we have a real or perceived shortage of baseball fields in the city. And we've discussed with the county a number of times partnering to move that baseball field complex, which is located, if you haven't seen it, any of you, what was meant to be located down near the Veterans Park vicinity there. And I think it would be worthwhile for us to have in our both our parks plan and in our overall goals to see if we can move that along forward somehow. I know the county has told me a number of times, Brian Adams, their superintendent of parks, that's just not a priority for them. Yeah. But I think that they are willing to concentrate those efforts down in Mount Vernon. And of course, Anacortes is pretty well taken care of that way. I think our time should be due on that in the not too distant future to see that move forward.
Thank you, Mark.
So
I have I have to make a comment on that too, because that's something that I brought for you. I think it was Louis Riqua who actually designed that and wanted that to happen. And I know I brought it to you a couple years ago, Mark. So I'm thrilled that you're bringing that up, because I know you said, given the county, sometimes they're not all that enthused about moving forward with that plan. But I'm thrilled to hear that. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, I think it would be worthwhile if the commission and the council agrees with that, to at least note that as a goal in our next round of the parks element of the comp plan, and have that discussion whenever, Mayor, that you have the chance to meet with the commissioners to say, look, you know, that's something we don't want to completely forget about.
Right. Yeah.
And doing down there. As far as trails go, I appreciated Councilmember DeYoung's comments. We have that fairly extensive trail plan in Cedro Woolley, and one of the goals that, and you mentioned it somewhat, and John did anyway, is to put a trail along Brickyard Creek. That's been pretty low priority thus far in what we've done in Public Works. But one thing that we've got on the agenda budgeted for 2021 and 2022 that may move that a little up on the priority list is we are, after many years of talking about it, planning to update our stormwater management plan for the city. As you know, it was mentioned earlier in by John that we just completed the sewer comprehensive plan, or at least it's to the level of council review for the sewer plan. And the next thing on my bucket list is to get the stormwater plan up too. We basically have the same miles or footage, however you want to look at it, of stormwater pipe in the ground that we do for the sanitary sewer system. That system doesn't have a treatment plant, so it's a little less intensive from that aspect, but it does have a couple of pump stations. And I'm very interested in getting that updated and starting to be able to do the same thing with our stormwater utility that we currently do with our sewer utility, and that is update our rate schedule based on a real, more or less scientific process of updating a rate study on a yearly basis after that plan's prepared. So that will be something that will definitely hit your docket. If not in 2021, it will in 2022 when we're close to the adoption stage, and we'll do the same type of methodology you saw with the sewer plan. The stormwater management plan, the reason I mentioned that in association with the trails is Brickyard Creek is not just a creek, it's also the main stormwater transmission facility for a good part of the town. And so we'll be looking at that pretty carefully as a part of that plan that we're going to do for that. A couple of other things. Mayor has mentioned to council, I'm not sure if Planning Commission is aware of it or not, but we are in the somewhat final stages of a property transfer from PUD for the two Little League ball fields that are down near Riverfront Park. And they're going to become part of our park system officially when that does take place. We're already planning for that in terms of maintenance responsibilities that go along with that. Nathan's been working really hard to put together a plan on how we can take care of those properly and set up a system of field charges, which we really need to do for our system overall anyway. But that's another thing. The Little League fields do show up in our parks plan as a not city-owned facility. I'll work with John to update that to part of our park system. And just wanted you to be aware of that. We also mentioned in that plan, the parks plan is the FEMA property that's down north of Riverfront Park. As you know, we've developed the Bark Park on part of that or adjacent to that anyway. And this last year, Skagit Fisheries I forget which of the workforces they had out there, but there were very many hours put into cleaning that site up and putting a trail in with interpretive signs and all of that kind of stuff. And we're working with them currently to see if we can fund a footbridge similar to the one which Skagit Trail Builders recently constructed there at Northern States to replace the old bridge that used to cross Hanson Creek there just east of the power plant. So we're trying to put that in down there, and that would be a good adjunct or a part of this overall path that Council Member DeYoung is talking about. So there's actually a number of things that are kind of working towards those ends, and just wanted to make sure you were aware of those. And I guess the last one is some good news for any of you who haven't heard it. We did get notified this week that we were awarded a $500,000 grant from the RCO program for developing our Olmsted Park facility. Nathan's put together about a $1.3 million project, don't want to get those zeros wrong there, to upgrade that, add shelters, add a caretaker residence, a bathroom facility, similar to the models we've been building around our various parks in the last few years, and developing a path and playground area and all the rest of that. So this doesn't completely fund that. We'd actually asked for $1 million in two different grants. They funded one of those. But we're going to, you know, start the usual Cedro Oli way of getting that to work. We'll be working with Rotary to see if we can get them involved in building some of the structures and taking on some of the tasks that we were hoping to bid out as city projects. It's going to be an exciting project. Those dollars go green in 2022. We'll finalize the design work that's already been done by Pacific Landscape next year to be ready for that and move that along. As a part of that, one of the things that we don't have directly called out in what Nathan's planned, but peripheral to that, is developing a footpath around Thompson Pond. The Wildcat Steelhead Club has been, you know, a tremendous advocate and a patron of the annual fishing derby, and they've done a lot of work in the last several years to dredge parts of the pond. In fact, they took another, I don't know, three or four dozen truckloads of silt out of the north end of the pond here a few weeks ago with some cooperation from Nathan's folks. But that would be a nice addition to that and kind of fits in with all the other trails types of things we're talking about. And it's our intention to have some conversations with both the port and the trail builders about tying that into the system they're currently building up there as well. So anyway, just lots of things on that recreation front that are kind of simmering at the back of the burner, but getting a little closer to the top as we go. So anyway, that's all I had.
Thank you, Director Freiberger. Great information. I'm glad that you shared that. A couple things I want to add is the path, I do believe, around the pond will be an ADA path, as I understand it, as Nathan explained it to me, which will be fantastic. And also, I want to thank our partners, the Port of Skagit, as they have promised $400,000 for us to get that park, Olmsted Park, completed. So great partners to have, very much engaged in what we're doing, and they want to see us successful, just like we want to see them successful up at the Swift Center. So with nothing else, I want to thank everybody for coming together tonight. I did realize after we called the meeting, we've been having council meetings at 4:00, and I did realize later when after this meeting was called, that probably this meeting maybe should have been a little later for those who are working to be more thoughtful to the Planning Commission. So our apologies regarding that. Like I said, for the last 4 or 5 months now, we've been having 4 p.m. meetings. So anyway, with that, I hope you have a wonderful evening, all of you. And again, I would like to remind the council, the city council, if you would stay on so that we could together do a public service announcement for the Tulip Festival. That is always an important part of our community. And if the Planning Commission would like to stay on as well, that would be great. It is, as I have it, 4:53, and I will close this meeting. Thank you.